Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Everything, Lord, you are everything to me. Sing the same thing over and over again. Come on, everybody.
Everything.
It's a simple song.
Lord, you are
to me.
Everything to
sing
me.
Sing everything.
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 You are.
Lord, you are. Everything to
sing my
me,
my treasure,
my priority.
Who can compare to you?
Who can compare to you?
Great
is thy measure of your royalty. Morning star, you truly are
my treasure,
my priority.
Who can compare to you?
Thank you that you're everything to us. We are not just saying it as part of a song that we sing to you, but the truth is that without you, we are nothing. And without you, nothing works in our lives. You are the air we breathe. You are our very sustenance. You are the reason why we are alive. You are the reason why life is worth living. And when you are not there, we are totally lost. That is why we can say that we are lost without you. And that's why we can say that we are desperate for you. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you that is what reveals you to us so that we can have a deeper and a meaningful relationship with you. And this morning, it's another revelation time to get to know you better, to understand more of kingdom truths and principles. I pray for everyone listening to me this morning that all will receive instruction from your word with a heart of humility, with a tender heart that will not resist the penetration of your word. Touch everyone, oh God. May all of us be blessed this morning through the preaching of your word. For myself, I pray, let your grace to teach and to minister your word come upon me. Cause me to receive a fresh outpouring of your spirit and of the anointing. As I stand here, may I not be seen, but may your glory be experienced by your people. I bless you, Father, this morning. And in Jesus' mighty name have I prayed with thanksgiving. And let everybody say, amen. Why don't you just clap your hands and bless the name of Jesus with me? Hallelujah. God bless you, and you may be seated. Turn your Bibles with me to Psalm 78. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Psalm 78, 70 to 72. It says, he chose his servant David, calling him from the sheep pens. He took David from tending the ewes and lambs and made him the shepherd of Jacob's descendants, God's own people, Israel. He cared for them with a true heart and led them with skillful hands. Luke chapter 16, let us read from verse number 10. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. All right. Today, by the grace of God, I want to end my series on stewardship, God's path to increase and elevation. This will be the final part of the series. The title again is Stewardship, God's Path to Increase and Elevation. Hallelujah. I have defined stewardship for you, and I've explained that stewardship is the responsible management of something that has been entrusted to your care. Ask your neighbor, what has been entrusted to your care? Are you managing it well? Some of you are not asking. You've brought your rebellion into the house of the Lord. Is that not so? I cast it out of you in the name of Jesus. Be loose, one. Be loose, two. Be loose, three. So now let me see whether you've been really delivered. So ask your neighbor again, what has been entrusted to you? Are you managing it well? It means you're a good steward. Hallelujah. Stewardship is also taking good care of what has been entrusted to you. So the first one is responsible management of something that has been entrusted to your care. Then the second definition is taking good care of what has been entrusted to you. Hallelujah. And then I gave you another definition of what stewardship is. Stewardship, so this expands it a bit more, is the faithful management of people, resources, responsibilities, opportunities, yes, relationships, and gifts that belong ultimately to God. Do you remember that I shared that with you? All right, so that is what stewardship is. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, deep in every person is a desire to succeed, to improve, and to advance in life. Would I be right in saying so? Yeah. In everybody, there is that desire. And so when it comes to our career, our profession, business, work, families, ministries, and our personal lives, most people desire to experience increase and elevation. Is that also correct? You're sure it's correct? All right. This past 2 weeks, I've pointed out to you that true increase and lasting elevation come from who? Come from God. And there are different pathways that God has established that lead to true increase and lasting elevation. So examples of the pathways: the pathway of faith, the pathway of wisdom, righteousness, obedience, humility, diligence, generosity. These are some of the different pathways that can lead you to increase and elevation. So you see, when I say that stewardship, God's path to increase and elevation, I am by no means suggesting that it is the only pathway. So don't get me wrong. But I am convinced, and scripture proves it to me, that stewardship, which I just defined, is one of the principal pathways that can lead to increase and elevation in your life. Hallelujah. And those who have been faithful stewards of the people that God has entrusted to them, those who have been faithful stewards of the relationships that God has given to them. And you know, there are people who God has brought into your life. They are part of your success story. And you need to take very good care of such people. If you take even church and your church relationships, they are very, very important blessings that God has placed in your life. And you must manage them well. Hallelujah. This morning, on my way to church, I picked a woman and her two children and gave them a lift to Afienya. I asked her where they were going. I mean, I knew they were going to church, so I asked her where she fellowships. She mentioned the name of a church that I'm not familiar with. So I asked her, is the church at Afienya? She said, no, the church is at Christian Village. Actually, Ashiaman Christian Village, not Achimota Christian Village. But it's also quite a far place. Is that not so? And I asked her that, why does she go all the way there? What she said to me was that, that's my church. She said, I used to live around there, but then I relocated to outside of town. And I still go there. And I said to her, God bless you. It is an example of somebody who values her church and values the relationships that God has given her in that church. I don't know why it is so easy for us to put this aside. And I want to use this opportunity to thank each and every one of you who come from quite a distance to church here. And even if you drive your own car, I still appreciate you. Because I know that many people are not willing to make moves like that. I mean, the average Christian, once he relocates, he tells himself that, oh, but what you don't realize is that your church, the church that God plants you in, is a family. And just like your biological family, you don't just exit out of your biological family because there are issues and there are challenges. How many of you have a lot of problems in the family that you come from? Gifty, it has a lot of meanings. Yes. Every family has issues and challenges. Every family.
Those who have been faithful stewards of the people, the relationships that God has entrusted to you. In fact, tell the person sitting by you, hey, I'm a very important person in your life. So treat me well. Because I don't like the way you've been handling me. Tell the person that change your ways in the way you relate with me, okay? I'm a very important person in your life. Hallelujah. So those who have been faithful stewards of the people, the relationships, the responsibilities. Faithful steward of responsibilities. When you're given responsibilities, you must manage that responsibility well. Somebody has employed you to work in her shop. Behave well. You are an apprentice in somebody's shop. Don't tell yourself that there are other places I could have gone to. Who told you? I mean, it's easy to take a lot of things for granted. If you're in church, you must be a good steward of the responsibilities that have been entrusted to you. This morning I was calling somebody because I was surprised I couldn't see him around. He's my son, so you'll understand. And he wasn't here. There was a story about something. But you see, what I told myself is that let's be serious here. And let me use Mr. Oche's company that he worked in for many, many years. You work for Shell. You're supposed to report to duty by a certain time. If there's a problem, you will be anxious to communicate it very clearly to your bosses, to your supervisors. You won't just be there waiting for your boss to call you to ask you where you are. Oh, you see, when we talk about responsibilities and all of those things, our minds just go to secular things, profession and all of that. But even in the house of God, we are expected to be very responsible. Good stewards of opportunities. I'm surprised at how people downplay on the value of opportunities. When you have an opportunity to do something, when you have an opportunity to serve, when you have an opportunity to work with somebody, when you have an opportunity to be in a relationship, when you have an opportunity to be married, when you have an opportunity to have children, Sometimes we don't value these opportunities and we are not good stewards of them. Gifts. Your time, for example, is a gift that God has given to you. He's expecting you to manage it well. Your time. You know, the day you are born, it's almost like there is a time glass that has been set up. And every day that you live, your time on earth is finishing. So by the end of today, 24 hours of the time that you have would be gone. That's how the Bible says, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Your time, your abilities, your talents, these are gifts that God has given to you. They must be managed well. And your resources, or somebody else's resources that is given to you, you should manage them well. Including money, whether yours or it belongs to somebody else. Some of us, nobody can trust you with their money. When they come asking for the money, the stories said, hey, do you remember when it rained heavily that Wednesday and the whole place got flooded? I felt within myself that your money was not safe in the house. So I was taking it to the bank. And then I got to a place and the flood, I fell in. And then the money carried my bag away with all your money. All your money. All your money is gone. What do you call that? Stories. Kushisem. Let's drop the money. I was going to invest it into something. I'm talking about stewardship. And those who have been faithful stewards of all these things entrusted to them are often the very people God elevates and entrusts with even greater things. You know, people don't just get it. I'm talking about increase and elevation. And I'm explaining to you that if you are a good steward of people, of relationships, of opportunities, of responsibilities, of gifts, of resources, if you are a good steward of these things, you are likely to be the person that God will elevate and increase in this life. May the Spirit of God grant you the ability to be faithful in all of these things. And as a result of that, may God lift you higher than you ever imagined. In Jesus' mighty name. Can I hear your loudest amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We've been looking at David. So I'm trying to understand stewardship as the path to increase and elevation, we have identified a classic example in the Bible of somebody whom God greatly blessed and increased and enlarged in this life. And that person, ladies and gentlemen, was King David. He's not the only one, but there are other Bible characters, and all of them, you see a certain pattern with them. It's a pattern of good stewardship resulting in their increase and elevation. And I said to you, I'm sure you wrote it down, that David's greatness did not begin on the throne. Did you write that down? David's greatness did not begin on the throne. It began in the sheepfold where he demonstrated good stewardship. And that's a very important statement. Because often we look at people and how great they have become and look at the height they have attained in life. And that's all we can see. But there is another story. Successful people have other stories concerning them. So you don't just look at their success. You don't look at the great things they've achieved. You don't look at what they have. You don't look at the blessings they enjoy and think that that is the end of the story. No, it ain't. But with many successful people and great people, you will discover that they have been faithful stewards of whatever was entrusted to them. And David's greatness did not begin at the throne. It began in the sheepfold. So in studying the life of King David, we discover several marks or signs of good stewardship that all of us also should seek to cultivate in our lives. Amen. Because the things that are written in the Bible are written as examples for us to follow and emulate. They are not just stories that we are being told, but we are being shown kingdom principles and wisdom that can help us to also do well in life. Did you say you want to do well in life? I want to be sure that I'm speaking to the right group of people, so that how many really want to do well and increase in life? So if I see you, then I can focus my preaching on you. And those who don't want to be, I'll stay away from them. I'm asking again, how many want to receive increase in your life? How many want to receive enlargement in your life? How many want to be lifted high in your life? As you've lifted your hand, may it happen practically to you. Especially as you follow this pathway of stewardship. Hallelujah. So David showed us marks of good stewardship or signs of good stewardship. And that's what we want to finish up with today. The first one is that he was faithful in small responsibilities. Somebody say faithfulness in small responsibilities. Say it again. Faithfulness in small responsibilities. You know, when Samuel arrived to anoint David as king, he was not idling somewhere. He was not just lazily sleeping or sitting somewhere, not doing anything. He was busy. And he was faithfully taking care of his father's sheep and goats. So he was not an idle fellow. Amen. He was carrying out his assigned responsibility of taking care of his father's flocks. The job, I don't think, was a very exciting job. But he stuck with it. What is exciting about taking care of sheep and goats? I mean, can you imagine? And it's like you go through the same routine all the time. And ladies and gentlemen, a lot of jobs in this life are mundane. They are just routine. And at a point, there's nothing exciting about it. I mean, there are some jobs that are interesting, and every day there's something new that you discover. But a lot of things are very ordinary. You just do the same thing over and over again. If you're a teacher and you've been teaching for 20 years, it's the same thing you've been doing. You finish with one batch, then you start another batch. Same thing. If you sell in a shop, it's the same thing that you do. If you're a security man, it's the same thing that you've been doing. There are some jobs I don't think I'll be able to do them. I don't think so. Because there are some jobs you have to be very phlegmatic. Like to just sit in one place all the time. Yeah. But David faithfully stuck with his responsibility and was faithful at it. And it wasn't a major responsibility, because I pointed out to you that it looks as if he didn't have a lot of sheep, because his brother mocked him with that thing and talked about the few sheep that he had been given. But he took very good care of them. So one of the marks of faithful stewardship is that you must be faithful with small responsibilities. Tell your neighbor, be faithful with small responsibilities. And the stewardship lesson here is that God often promotes people who are faithful in small things. Number two, the second mark of good stewardship we see with David is that he did not abandon his assignment. He did not abandon his assignment. What it means was that he had been given a job to do. And even though circumstances had changed for him, he did not abandon his assignment. He still stuck with them. Let me point it out to you. Let me prove it to you. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14 to 23. 1 Samuel 16, verse 14 to 23. It says, now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, and the Lord sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression and fear. Some of Saul's servants said to him, a tormenting spirit from God is troubling you. In those times, they seemed to know what the problem was. They said, let us find a good musician to play the harp whenever the tormenting spirit troubles you. He will play soothing music and you will soon be well again. All right, Saul said, find me someone who plays well and bring him here. One of the servants said to Saul, one of Jesse's sons from Bethlehem is a talented harp player. Not only that, he's a brave warrior, a man of war, and has good judgment. He's also a fine-looking young man. Okay? Because sometimes when people feel that you're a very bad person, do you see? Uh-huh. So there are things you can do to always look a certain way. Do you see? That's why you need to look at yourself well. Everybody is fearfully and wonderfully made. I've told you. Some of us are fearful is more than the wonderful. If it is like that, know how to carry yourself. As I say, into abodwina we jana ayese enoma epese omobeto omkosua ewomnu ama unwa yehu. So shave that beard. Not everybody can wear a beard. I'm saying something to you. You play with it and see. I'm telling you, not everybody can wear. So sometimes you have to look at yourself. Look at your face. Look at her and say that, Charlie, I look wicked. If I add a beard, it will be too serious. So for me, my lot is to be clean-shaved all the time. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Yes. Anyway, that's by the way. And the Lord is with him. So Saul sent messengers to Jesse to say, send me your son David, the shepherd. Jesse responded by sending David to Saul along with a young goat, a donkey loaded with bread, and a wineskin full of wine. So David went to Saul and began serving him. Saul loved David very much, and David became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent word to Jesse asking, please let David remain in my service, for I am very pleased with him. And whenever the tormenting spirit from God troubled Saul, David would play the harp. Then Saul would feel better and the tormenting spirit will go away. Amen. Now look at 1 Samuel 17 verse 15. It says, but David went back and forth so he could help his father with the sheep in Bethlehem. Did you see that? But David went back and forth so he could help his father with the sheep in Bethlehem. Where did you read this? 1 Samuel where? 17. And the previous one I read was 1 Samuel 16. Is that not so? All right. Now, let me point out something to you. These scriptures that I read had to do with a period in David's life when he had already been anointed. And his anointing was open. People saw it. His family. Because they gathered when Samuel came to anoint. So everybody knew. Those who were there at the consecration and ordination service knew that this boy is supposed to be king. They didn't know what the time was, but a whole prophet Samuel had come to anoint him. So it was clear to them that he's destined to be king. But even though he was anointed as king, he did not stop taking care of his father's sheep. That's what I'm trying to point out to you. He didn't tell his father that, Papa, as you are aware, I'm anointed. I'm going to be your king. So this thing of go and take care of sheep and goats and all of that, please. Go and look for somebody else. If your children are finished, go and born another one to take care of them for me. I can't do that job. He was anointed as king, but he was still taking care of his father's sheep. He did not abandon his assignment. And in the earlier scripture that I read to you, now he had been invited to the palace to minister to the king. And the king was the most powerful citizen in the land. And even though he had that duty and responsibility, he didn't let it affect him. He still took care of his father's sheep. So I suppose that whenever he had time, he had an arrangement where he would go and take care of them. He did not abandon his assignment. And ladies and gentlemen, that is one of the signs of good stewardship. You know, faithful stewards continue serving after receiving promises and prophecies. Write it down. Faithful stewards, they continue serving after receiving promises and prophecies. That's a sign of faithful stewardship. Because David knew it had been prophesied concerning him. He had a promise that he was carrying, that he was going to be king of God's special people. But it didn't stop him from serving. That's one of the signs of good stewardship. So there are people. When somebody tells you that, oh, I'll give you a job, and you'll be earning so much money, immediately, where they were working, they cut it off. It's a promise, oh. It hasn't yet materialized. But already you have developed S. Because they told you that I'm going to make you the supervisor at this section of the company. And you are in somebody's provision shop. As soon as you receive the prophecy, I won't do it again. Or your uncle told you that he's coming to take you to America. So because of that, you've stopped school. You've stopped. That is going to help you get a scholarship to continue your education in Germany. As soon as the promise was made to you, you have packed your trunk and putomanto. Do you know putomanto? Yeah. Suitcase. And you have left the school. They're asking you, where are you going? I said, please. Germany, here we come. Germany, here we come. I said, I can't be following these things. What's the use of? We don't do that. We don't do that. I'm saying something to you. Learn to stick with assignments and not abandon them. And some of us, if God were to just raise us up a little and elevate us small, no, there are certain things that we'll never do again. Yes, I'm now a missus. I don't do certain things again. Is that not so? Yeah. So in the protocol ministry, and then by the grace of God, we have come to marry you. After marrying you, they say that I am missus. I can't be standing at the doorway when people are coming to church. Hello, yeah, welcome to church. Please let me usher you to the ring in here. The usher won't stand in. What's it, sir? I have to sit close to my husband. And if the ring was a diamond ring, I'll understand. If it was a diamond ring, I will understand the way you have come on top. But between you and me, it's a combination of brass and copper. Any idea about where you are now? I'm a sword. abasano. That's amazing. And I want to say to you, don't change. Don't abandon, like things that you're doing in church, in the house of God, whatever. Don't abandon them when you are elevated. When God blesses you, or when an opportunity comes your way. I think that the one that I find a big problem with is where the thing hasn't yet materialized, but already you have packed your things. Mejai, I won't do it again. Don't do that. Because to experience increase and elevation, you must learn to be faithful and to stick with responsibilities and assignments and not abandon them. Number three, the third mark of good stewardship that we see with David is that he could be sent and instructed to do things. He could be sent and instructed to do things. He had been anointed, though. He had been anointed to be king. But he could be sent and instructed to do things. 1 Samuel 17, 17 to 20. So this was some time after he had been anointed. Bible says, one day Jesse said to David, take this basket of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers. And give these 10 cuts of cheese to their captain. See how your brothers are getting along and bring back a report on how they are doing. David's brothers were with Saul. They were in the army and the Israelite army at the valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines. So David left the sheep with another shepherd and sent out early the next morning with the gifts as Jesse had directed him. He arrived at the camp just as the Israelite army was leaving for the battlefield with shouts and battle cries. He was anointed as king, but he could be sent and he could be instructed to do things. His father could send him. He could have said to his father, Dada, please, I think you should respect the anointing and the oil on my life. Respect the oil and the anointing on my life. You can't just be sending me. I should carry cheese and bread and roasted corn. For crying out loud, I've been anointed as king. So all these sending things, please, let's stop it. But no, he could be sent. He could be instructed. His father could call him, hey, Dave, come. Let me send you here. Let me send you. Go and buy milk. Go and buy this. And you will go. It wasn't a problem. That's a sign of good stewardship. Where you can be instructed. You can be sent to do things. And a good steward is someone who can be sent, who obeys instructions, can be relied upon to complete every assignment faithfully. That's a good steward. Because if you say you want to see increase and elevation in your life, one of the paths you have to follow is the path of stewardship. And the mark of good stewardship is where you can be sent. Can you be sent? Can we send you? Can your madam send you? Or you are telling your madam that she, so you are coming to learn how to do hair. What do you call that job? Hairstylist or hairdresser? Which is the more hairstylist? Glory be to God. So you are an apprentice. You are learning how to be a hairstylist. Now your mother has sent you to Ashaman Market to go and buy tomatoes. Will you go? What does buying tomatoes have to do with styling hair? So now you've developed an attitude. No, this is not why I came here. You can't send me to do this. You can't send me to wash plates. You can't send me to do, you can't send me to do that. What you don't understand is that you are actually hurting yourself. Because you can't be sent. Can you be instructed, told, do this, do that, do it this way, do it that way, and you won't get angry? Do you have a good attitude? Can you accept correction? Are you willing to learn? All of this have to do with good stewardship. Can you do all of these things? Because these are important things that must be seen with you before God will lift you up and increase you. You are obedient. You can be instructed. You can be corrected without developing an attitude. You can be sent to do things. If you can't be sent to do anything and it's difficult for you to obey instructions and follow instructions and stick with assignments that are given to you, I'm telling you, you are nowhere near any increase or elevation. Number four, we're ending. The next mark or sign of good stewardship, he was responsible and accountable. He was responsible and accountable. Good stewards are responsible and accountable. And you will discover this, that all those or many people who have been increased in life, elevated in life, they have exhibited good responsibility and accountability. Amen. When you are responsible, it means that whatever is entrusted to you, into your hands, you do it well and properly. If you are accountable, it means that when we come and we are asking questions about things, you can explain things well. There's no confusion with you. You can account for things and you are responsible for things. I have put you in a shop. When we took stock, there were 25 tins of Ideal milk on the shelf. When we come back and we find out that there are 15 left, it means that 10 have been sold. So account for it. Now you are speaking in tongues. Why are you speaking in tongues? We are asking for, if you have, how much is a tin of milk? 12 cedis. Depend. Oh, what? I just said, winning brands in the moon, you know. Which one is the cheapest brand? Carnation. Tea creamer. On your dog, cripple. Kai. So if it is 12 cedis and 10 of the tins of milk are off the shelf, I'm expecting you to give me 120 Ghana cedis. Why is it 96 cedis? Me just a 6 na kan 90 ni ukra na yemi ebufu no. 120 accounting for 90. And then when I ask it, where is the money? And then I sold them all. I didn't take the money anywhere. I put it here. Madam, I don't know what happened to it. Look at you. Look at what you are doing. No accountability. But did you notice with David that when his father sent him, look at verse 20 of 1 Samuel 17. Verse 20, 1 Samuel 17. So David left the sheep with another shepherd. His father was sending him. And what did you do with the sheep? He left them with another shepherd and sent out early the next morning. So he did not just go. He was responsible and he was accountable. Good stewards are responsible, understand accountability, and follow through on assignments. So what have you been charged to do? What responsibility have you been given? What job have you been assigned? Are you doing it responsibly? Are you accountable for what you're doing? And I found that there are some people, they don't like, you know, things to do with governance, administration, accountability, and responsibility. And when you start asking for things, they get angry. They feel that there's no need for all of these things. What are you talking about? Like if you take church. In church, you must be responsible. If you are made the head of a department, you must be responsible. If you are a leader in a department, you must be responsible. You must be accountable. We must be able to ask you for data and ask you for information. We must be able to ask you, where are the sheep that were entrusted to you? Where are the members who were given to you? Why is this person not in church? Why is that person not in church? Because that is a mark of good stewardship. And good stewardship is the path to increase and elevation. Number five, we're ending. The next mark, he was trustworthy. He was trustworthy. David was trustworthy. That is why his father could entrust him with his sheep that take care of them in the wilderness for me. And he could take good care of them. You see, in those times, the main occupation of people was farming, either crop farming or livestock farming. That's how they got their wealth. That's what most people did. So your wealth is measured by how many sheep and goats and whatever you have. So they are important to you. So you want them taken good care of. I believe that David was not just asked to take care of his father's sheep because he was the youngest son. I want to submit to you that he was trustworthy. That is why. Because there's some people, you give them, and when they come and you're counting, you give them 12 sheep to go and take care of. By the time they come, it's 9.5. He was trustworthy. What was entrusted to him, he took very good care of. His father could call him and give him provisions to send to the battlefield. But for me, one of the things that really struck me when I was preparing this, do you remember that I told you that I read to you how he was employed in the palace to minister to the king? Do you know that people who cannot be trusted are not allowed into a certain space? Because you see, the king had a problem. He had a tormenting spirit. And when it comes, he misbehaves. Maybe he just takes off his cloth and there's walking all over the place, naked, rolling on the floor and everything. And you, David, you are the one who has been employed to minister, play the harp. And when you do, the king is delivered. But he could be trusted. He could be trusted that he won't go all over the place and say, "Hey, asemo esie." He could be trusted. He was trustworthy. Look, sometimes in life, you find yourself at a place where you have access to sensitive information, delicate information. Secrets are entrusted to you. So you have been employed to work in a place. You hear things. You see things. Good stewardship requires that you must be trustworthy. Recognize that you are privileged to have access to certain people and certain information. And if you are a blabbermouth, you are not likely to be promoted in this life. So you are a driver. You are driving an important person. When a phone call comes, why you are so sad? Listening to things and recording things in your mind. And when you go and spread the news. The other day, a friend of mine was telling me how his sister had to sack her driver. Because now the driver had become presumptuous. Because she had a good relationship with him and she trusted him. She could have all kinds of conversation in the car when he's driving it. The other time, somebody had called and was talking to her. The driver was saying conversation. Can you imagine?
Your boss has a phone call. He's saying something. You are responding in the background. Oh, madam, you're correct. You can be true, no mommy. You can be. We are torn. Good stewards say they are trustworthy and value your closeness with important people. That if you are privy to certain information, handle it well. Handle it very well. It's not everything that you open your mouth and say. Never did we read anywhere that David went into town broadcasting. So on him, you know, I say, he shouldn't be king anymore. The problems that he has. Good stewards are trustworthy. Amen. So if you're a good steward, you can be trusted with confidential information. You do not gossip. You don't spread sensitive matters. You protect the dignity of those under your care. You know when to speak. You know when to be silent. You understand that trust, once broken, is difficult to rebuild. And many people lose opportunities not because they lack ability, but because they cannot keep confidence. So then certain doors are closed to you because of your mouth. They hear something in private, and before long, everyone knows about it. Such people cannot be entrusted with greater responsibility. So good stewardship requires that you must be trustworthy. Last but one. He protected, took very good care of what was entrusted to him, and he had an ownership mentality. He protected, took very good care of what was entrusted to him, and had an ownership mentality. Hallelujah. Another mark of good stewardship. He protected, took very good care of what was entrusted to him, and had an ownership mentality. So, when the king, Saul, called David, his attention was drawn to the fact that there's this small boy who says that he's ready to go and fight Goliath. And when David appeared before the king was expecting to see a giant, somebody big and tall and muscular and everything. So, he was looking up. They said the boy has come. So, he was looking up to, but he couldn't see anybody. Then he heard a small voice say, "Live forever, O king." So he had to drop his head. And then this small boy standing in front of him said, "Akwala, who are you?" I'm the one who has come and said that I'm going to fight Goliath. I'll kill him there. He said, "Hey, go and fetch water for your mother. Go home. What are you doing here?" And Saul explained to him that this guy, Goliath, he's been fighting since he was a little boy. What are you saying? Is it that you are not well? Something is not working well with you. Now look at the response that David gave him. He said, verse 32 of 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17, verse 32. "Don't worry about this Philistine," David told Saul. "I'll go fight him." "Don't be ridiculous," Saul replied. "There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You are only a boy and he's been a man of war since his youth." But David persisted. Now look at what he said. "I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats," he said. "When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock." So note that it was not something that just happened once. Think about it, because he said when. So it means that it's something that happened at least more than once. "When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death." Not a cat. Not a dog. A lion and a bear. And what David was saying here is that I protected and took very good care of what was entrusted to me as if they belonged to me. He put his life on the line for sheep. And he was not prepared to lose even one. That's a sign of good stewardship. He viewed every sheep as valuable and he risked his life to protect them. He did not say it's only one sheep. He fought lions and bears to recover every single lamb. That's stewardshipable. And he had an ownership mentality, which is a mentality most workers do not have. Yeah. Most people, when you employ them, they don't have the ownership mentality. It's like, it's not for me. It's not for my father. It's not for my mother. I can't break my back over this job. That's how a lot of people work. But not so with David. Do you know what a lion is? Do you know what a bear is? Two of the most ferocious predators that you can ever find. Coming for his sheep. He said, Nalai. He told the lion and the bear, the days of free lunch are over. Put my sheep down. No, Mr. Lion. The lion will roar. Rah! He said, hey, hey, hey. Mwawa, no. Now, what you are doing, it doesn't intimidate me. I say, put my sheep down. Mr. Lion, I don't like that. Oh, Mr. Bear, I don't like that. Don't let myself come. Oh. I said, drop the lamb. Oh. He said, I won't drop. Drop the lamb. I was running away. I said, what the mabwana you call him? Chased it. Literally, lions and bears chase human beings. Human beings don't chase lions and bears. And the thing, when I think about it, I think that must have happened after he became anointed. Because if you are not anointed, you won't do things like that. And so the lions and the bear were surprised. Maybe before he became anointed, they could easily come and do what they had to do. After the anointing, he said, now, this thing is not going to happen. And he had an ownership mentality. It's like the thing belonged to him. So what has been entrusted to you? Can somebody leave his shop with you? Can somebody leave his money with you? Can somebody entrust you with his car, with his property, with his children? And that's one of the most difficult things, to get a faithful person, somebody who take care of your children, a nanny or something. It's a very difficult thing to find. And if you are working for somebody, have an attitude of give to cry. Yeah, yeah. Hey, this is a bear. Can you imagine a little boy chasing this animal? So what about the far me guy? Look at him. Look at him. Many people, you know, they don't have that mind of this. This thing, it is not mine really. But my attitude to it is that it is mine. And sometimes you find people who are working hard being ridiculed in the office by their colleagues. It's like, hey, you may have what from the personal power. Or you are working for your madam. You are serving your madam faithfully. Everywhere. Everything. The madam can entrust you with things. Things to do with the business. Things outside the business. And the other apprentices are saying that you are too known. They are laughing at you. They are mocking you. And all of that. But you see, what they don't understand is that good stewardship, developing an ownership mentality, is something that can lift you from down below and set you high up in life. I'm telling you. So as you are waiting for somebody to send you $10,000 for things to get better in your life, I'm telling you, it doesn't work like that. Rather, work your way to the top, taking steady steps of faithfulness, of responsibility, of good stewardship, and see the elevation of God in your life. Everywhere you find yourself, in church, at work, in your community, in school, wherever responsibilities are entrusted to you, handle them faithfully. Protect what is placed under your care. Is how people use other people's property. You have gone to buy a car and you have employed a driver to work with the car. You should see him, how he drives on this Bechele road.
on that road. Why is he driving like that? The car is not for him. If it is your own car and you have spent so much money to buy it, even other drivers will be instructing you, insulting you when they are behind you. You are too slow. When you see a pothole, you start braking about 500 meters from the pothole. So per se bell and demo said then top maneuver frame. Then you go get, honestly, it's very difficult when you're following people like that. But the thing is not for you, but you have a certain mind. So what has been entrusted to you? Who has been entrusted to you? What's your attitude towards it? The responsibility you have at work, the responsibility you have at church, the duty that has been committed to you. How are you handling? Are you handling it like something that is for you? And the last one, the last mark. Hey, Yemreasum. He served diligently even when no one was watching. That's one of the signs of good stewardship. He served diligently even when no one was watching. Where was David taking care of his father's sheep? In the wilderness. Samuel was not there. His father Jesse was not there. Saul was not there. It was just he and the sheep, and perhaps other people were also taking care of their sheep there. But in the back of the desert, he served diligently even when no one was watching. And he served faithfully, not with eye service or lip service. Do you know eye service? Yeah. Eye service is working only when people are watching. Lip service is saying the right things when your boss is around, when people are around. But when they are not there, you say all sorts of things. And a lot of people like that, a lot of workers are like that. They do eye service. They do lip service. But they don't really put themselves into things and do it in such a way, irrespective of whether people are around or not. Why is it that you only work well when your boss is there? Why? Why is it that you can't work well even when your boss is not there? Why is it that when your boss is present, that's when you say all the good things? When your boss is not there, then you begin to say all sorts of things. Do you know that walls have ears? There. Walls have ears. Sometimes as you are there saying all the things that you are saying, you don't know that the person you are saying the thing about, he knows. There are a lot of things that I know that I don't comment about. There are things that people that I have a certain relationship, they're saying this, saying that. I know. But I just continue to flow. And just to love them. Sometimes you hear ridiculous things. But it's like when you see me and you are with me, then you say all the right things, act the right way. But when I'm not there, or I've put somebody else in charge, your relationship with the person, how you talk to the person, how you relate to the person, and all of that. So when you are a good steward, there's a way you operate. You serve diligently, even when no one is watching. So stewardship is demonstrated in private before it is rewarded in public. Stewardship is demonstrated in private before it is rewarded in public. Let's conclude. God did not make David king simply because he had potential. He made David king because he had already demonstrated faithfulness, responsibility, diligence, accountability, courage, and reliability in the stewardship of his father's sheep. And this is what Asaph testified to when he said in Psalm 78, verse 70 to 72. He said, he chose his servant David, calling him from the sheep pens. he took David from tending the ewes and lambs and made him the shepherd of Jacob's descendants, God's own people, Israel. He cared for them with a true heart and led them with skillful hands. David first proved that he could faithfully shepherd sheep before God entrusted him with people, and the sheepfold became his training ground for the throne. So, ladies and gentlemen, understand this. The people, the relationships, the responsibilities, the opportunities, the resources, and the gifts we handle well today are often God's preparation for the increase and elevation of tomorrow. I pray that this teaching on stewardship is going to help all of us, that wherever we find ourselves, whether in secular things or things to do with the house of God or the kingdom of God, we will seek to be faithful and be good stewards of whatever has been entrusted to us. Because if we do, and if we demonstrate good stewardship, it is then and only then that God will set us on high and God will increase us on every side. Sometimes we just want to see things change instantly in our lives. It doesn't work out like that. It doesn't. But if you can faithfully take care and manage well whatever has been entrusted to you, if you can take good care of whatever has been entrusted to you, can you take good care of your clients? Can you take good care of your customers? Can you take good care of the church members? Can you take good care of the souls? Can you take good care of somebody's children? Can you take good care of somebody's shop? Can you take good care of somebody's property? It is when you can do all of these that God will identify you as somebody who can be entrusted with greater things. And then your increase will come and your elevation will come. May the Spirit of God help us to be good stewards wherever we find ourselves. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Rise to your feet and let's pray and end the service. I really needed to finish. All right. So that's why I've taken more of your time. But we'll be out of here in the next maximum 9 minutes. Bow down your heads and let us pray. I want you to pray for yourself. Like I said, all of us are looking for God to lift us up and elevate us in life. But perhaps as I shared this message with you, the Holy Spirit has touched your heart and convicted you about certain things. And you can see that in certain areas you are lacking in stewardship. Can you just pray for yourself and ask that the Holy Spirit will help you to overcome those areas of your life so that you become a better steward of what has been entrusted to you, that you become a responsible and accountable, a good manager of whatever has been entrusted to you. People, relationships, responsibilities, opportunities, resources, gifts. Pray that God should help you to be a good steward, so that the increase and elevation you crave for in your life, by the grace of God, you would experience them. Pray for yourself right now, wherever you are, pray for yourself, including those of you online watching. Pray for yourself. His word says that if you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? That explains why sometimes the promotion we are looking for eludes us. It's because we have not been good stewards of what was given to us. Thank God that there's an opportunity to correct that which is wrong in our lives, to make us better, and that there's an opportunity to become better at managing what has been given to us. Pray for yourself in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Pray for yourself, especially if you are in church also. You have a responsibility, you have a duty, you have an expectation of you. Pray that moving forward, you'll be very responsible, you'll be very focused, you'll be very faithful, you will manage things well in the name of Jesus. Whichever department you serve in, pray for yourself that there'll be a change in your attitude, that you will become somebody who can be depended on, who can be relied upon. That if you are given assignments and responsibilities, if there's something you're supposed to do, you will do it very well. You discharge of your duties excellently. Anybody who is supervising you will not have any issues with you moving forward. Thank God that there's an opportunity to change that which is wrong. And moving forward, trust God that things will become better in the name of Jesus. Thank God for his word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. That is why we hear the word of God. That is why the scriptures are ministered. That is why we come to church and there's a whole segment where we sit and receive the word of God. That word is supposed to change our lives, change our destinies, redirect our course and our path, and help us to do better. Thank God for this teaching on stewardship. Believe that God is leading you on that path that will bring you into increase and bring you into elevation. Begin to thank the Lord right now for hearing your prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you that grace has abounded today in Jesus' mighty name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Can I ask you, talking about stewardship, I'm just wondering, who have you entrusted your life to? Who have you given your life to? There's only one person I know who can take good care of you. There's only one person that I know who can protect you and preserve you. And as David was a good shepherd of his father's sheep, the Lord Jesus is the shepherd who can take care of you and of your soul and of everything concerning you. Have you received him as Lord and Savior? Today I want to give you an opportunity to do that. And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, you are not saved, you are not born again. Jesus is not your Savior, he's not the shepherd of your soul. You've not given him full control, but today you want to do that. Maybe somebody invited you to church today, but you don't know him as Lord and Savior. Perhaps you're watching me right now, and deep inside you, you know that you don't have a certain kind of relationship with God. That means that you are like a lost sheep wandering aimlessly in the wilderness of life. But there can be purpose and direction to your life if you can only yield your life to Jesus. This afternoon, you have an opportunity to do that. And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Wherever you are, can you lift up your right hand and I'll pray for you. If you are in your room and you are listening to me and the Holy Spirit is convicting you, lift your hand right there in your room where you are. I can't see you, but God can see you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Now pray this prayer with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, today I come to you just as I am. Please forgive me for staying away all this while. Today I give you my life. I give you my heart. I surrender to you. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord, my Savior, the shepherd of my soul. I know that I can entrust my life to you, and you will take good care of me. I pray, oh God, help me to serve you and to live for you. Please write my name in the book of life. I thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.